Welcome to the prolific teaching ministry of Pastor Emmanuel Iren, lead pastor of Celebration Church International. It is his vision to partner with you for your progress and joy in the faith. Ready, set, grow.
Praise the Lord. Now, this is the last Sunday in the month of Purples. Next month, we are doing something very important, something that has always been a mark of this great ministry, something that I've been doing since 2014. We've called it different names. We've called it Look Into the Book. We've called it Bible Experience. It's going to be a special hermeneutic month where we're teaching you how to interpret scriptures. So I want you to understand that it is classes like that that make you mature as a believer. So please don't miss it for anything. But purpose is as important to my heart. And I'm really praying that God will, number one, help me convey the message as articulately as I ought to. And then secondly, for what I'm trying to convey, it cannot just be head knowledge. It has to be a baptism. It really has to dawn on you. Because what I'm talking about, people can scarcely talk you into it. It has to click in your spirit for it to become your reality. So quick, a recap first and foremost. What is purpose? Chorus it, want to go. You know, is at times like this, we know the serious members of CCIO, did they project it? The purpose is that, what do you mean no, it's right there. You are such a bad liar. What do you mean? Okay, it came later. All right. I won't say, I say no, it's a full chest. What did I say? Reminds me of somebody in school. He used someone's ATM card and stole the person's money. But at that time, I don't think people knew that ATM machines had the technology. Like, it video records people who were, but he didn't know. So they asked him, did you take the money? He said no. They now played the video for him. It looked like he's still on the one. Anyways. So, purpose is that one thing for which you were created and at which you must succeed. Otherwise, nothing else you succeed at will count. You know, and what I was trying to convey with this definition will be this. When many people think of purpose, the first thing that comes to their mind is a job. It's a job. And understand this, you can be a great doctor and fail in purpose. You can be a great pastor and fail in purpose. Because even pastoring is not your purpose. It's close to purpose, but it's not. Being a doctor is not your purpose. I assure you, there are many things that people call purpose that when they stand before God, will not even come up in the conversation once. How happy you are doing that job is not as important as the way you make your co-workers feel. Are you listening to me? So, you must narrow down purpose to that one thing for which you were created. Why was I created? Oh, I'm a professional basketball player and I love it. Well, why were you created? Yeah, you have gifts. You have talents, but why exactly were you created? That one thing for which you were created and at which you must succeed. Otherwise, nothing else you succeed at will count. To explain this, I want to share with you what I call the hierarchy of purpose. The hierarchy of purpose. So, there are three important things, but not of the same level of importance. So, number one is salvation. Jesus said this. He says, for what profit a man? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? It means, as far as Jesus is concerned, you can have all the money in the world and still be a failure. Understand this. Jesus said this, not me. What does it profit a man if he has the most profitable business and he loses his soul? You know, and to crystallize this point, Jesus tells a story about a rich man. In fact, he doesn't tell you his name, because, you know, there are some people like that. The only thing fascinating about them is how much money they have. No good conduct, nothing. Nothing else is going well for them. And they carry that aura with their full chest. That's all they have to offer. They expect their money to compensate for lack of presence as a husband, lack of presence as his father, lack of... They throw it around. Every time you see them and anywhere, it is only the money they are projecting. Not character, not good values, nothing. And I'm saying this in the most respectful way to teach you something. Well, end of the day, the rich man died and Lazarus dies. And that's another key thing you need to remember. Remember this. Everything we are doing on the earth is just a transition to your final destination. Never forget that. It doesn't matter how long you live on the earth. Even if it is 100 years, you'll be out of here soon. You'll be out of here soon. You know, I was teaching someone this yesterday because she was asking me, I really want to evangelize, but sometimes I just get to the person I want to evangelize to and I get short of words. And I say, I'll give you a simple thing. And I don't want to explain in detail why it is important to do it this way. And this is just an idea. You don't have to do it all the time. You don't have to do it this way. I said, when you see someone, ask them, so just in the middle of a casual conversation, so where do you see yourself in the next 10 years? Oh, in the next 10 years, I must have had my doctorate degree and maybe relocated out of the country. This, that. Okay. Where do you see yourself in the next 30 years? Oh, in the next 30 years, I must have had all the children I want to have, you know, hopefully a grandfather, doing this, that. So, next question. Where do you see yourself in the next 100 years? They're first of all going to laugh, thinking you're joking. And you look them clear in the face and follow it with this question. What do you think is waiting for us after we leave this earth? You see, the best mode of evangelism is the one that comes immediately after a casual conversation, just like in John 4. One moment you're talking about water, the next moment, I'm talking to a prophet. You see? So, but I said all of that to say this. It doesn't matter how long you live, you will leave this world. And I advise you start thinking about it now. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. I told you earlier this month, every time Jesus was giving a parable, you could tell it was a parable. When it came to this story, he said, a certain man. Meaning it happened. He's talking from the standpoint of being God. He pre-existed, he's coming to the earth. So he's telling you a real story with real life examples, real life people. Abraham was a real person. He told you what Abraham said. So it's either it actually happened or Jesus lied. It happened. There was such a man called the rich man. There was such a man called Lazarus. And both of them went to different places in the same area. One of them in Abraham's bosom. You are told the conversation. You are literally, the narration is right there in the Bible. So it means you can be so wealthy in life and then cross to the other side, and you realize you're going to spend eternity. I don't know if you understand how scary what I just said is. There is hope in prison sentence, because at least, you know, bad as a bad, 20 years I'm out of here. Do you know what it means to be in a place of great torment and not have the hope of coming out? You know it's forever. Like, this is your state for all of eternity. It is not your portion in Jesus' name. And it's not just something you say amen to. The only way out of that destination is to place your faith in Jesus, not from a mental asset, you know, but say believing loyalty, meaning you believe in him and you act like you believe in him. What does a prophet demand if against the whole world? So the reason Jesus is telling you that story is this. You can be a captain of industry, a CEO with several companies, and all of that will not count the moment you cross this place. So what is that one thing? That if you don't succeed at, every other thing you succeeded at will not count. Paul said it this way, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Faith in Jesus, living your life for God, is that one thing. If you gain the whole world and you don't have that one thing, your life is a waste. You don't understand purpose if you don't understand what I just said. And not all of us has the same time. There are probably people in your life that you knew 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and you're not there anymore. You know, something happened to me weeks ago. There's somebody I used to know, I used to follow on Instagram, and he's gone. And somebody went to his page and commented, you know, just missing him. So it brought it back. You know, the notification came up because I commented on that same post. And I just thought about it. Do you think many people who die know they are going to die? How much time do you think you have? Tomorrow is not promised. That's why the Bible says, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. There is no hard guy on the other side, though. The moment you get to the other side, you will immediately know that God loved you and you played with his love. You treated his sacrifice like an unholy thing. Every idle word that a man orders, he will give accounts. Understand this. This is not a game. So, please take this seriously. As we talk about purpose, this is the most important thing. What does it profit a man, profit a woman, who is making a lot of profit in business, but your soul is lost? Profit in the balance sheet, loss in eternity. Not your portion in the name of Jesus. So the hierarchy of purpose, salvation is most important. Let me explain what I mean by hierarchy. It means, as important as it is to have a good job, to have money and all of that, I believe in the dominion mandate that you should do your best to make the most of life and to use all the gifts, the talents that God has given to you. But if it comes down to it, if all you have is salvation, that even if all your lifetime you spent it under the table, waiting for crumbs off the rich man's table, no contribution to society, no wife, no children, but you had salvation, you still win at the end. That's how important salvation. Jesus is telling you that story so that you can come up with this conclusion. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, that one thing for which you were created and at which you must succeed. Otherwise, nothing else you succeed at will count. That guy that broke the barn and built a bigger one, Jesus now said, if your life ends today, let's see who will spend all this money. The second, when it comes to the hierarchy of purpose, and I have to move very quickly. Jesus was asked, Matthew chapter 22 from verse 37 to 40. Master, what is the great commandment of the law? And to this he replies, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. I've taught you this, how that if you look at the 10 commandments, the first 5 can be summarized with loving God. Everything had to do with loving God or obeying God. But Jesus took it deeper to emphasize loving God, not just obedience, but love. All right? And then he said, the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And interestingly, the last five commandments are about your neighbor. The Bible says, besides this is no law. Meaning the law is summarized in love. Come on, are you listening to me? I've heard many people's encounters, and I've told you this before, how that many people, 9 out of 10 people who claim to have died and seen Jesus, they were lying. But I vet people's encounters on the strength of scriptures, and there are some that I at least pay attention to, because it's biblical. Somebody said, she died, went to heaven, stood before God, and the question he kept asking everybody is, what did you do for love? What did you do for love? You see, the reason that is profound is this. Jesus himself says that on that day, he will separate the sheep from the goats. And in this context, this seemed to be the defining factor. He would tell some people, I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was homeless and you gave me no shelter. And people would be surprised. When were you hungry and I didn't give you food? You see, that's the problem. There are a lot of people who are selective in their love. They practice classism. So there are some people that they are nice to. Has it ever happened to you that you tell someone that this person is mean to me, and they say, no, it can't be. Because the person, there are sides of the person that some people will never see. Come on, I get what I'm saying. I'll never forget. There was a day I was walking somewhere, and I saw 3 people that I knew very well. And one of them was shouting down the other two with a rage I cannot explain. I'd never seen him that way. He never showed me that side. As soon as he saw that I was coming, it was as if they poured cold water on him. Some people, this is how they are in their marriage. Outside, you will never know. Outside, you will never know. In fact, if you don't sit them down and really hear both sides, sometimes you will conclude one thing you will learn as a marriage counselor. And let me advise you, it doesn't matter how compelling what you see outside is. When you see, especially with the modern day social media drama, this person did this. If you don't hear both sides, don't conclude. I'm telling you. In fact, doubt the person that spoke first. Sometimes. Just hear both sides is what I'm saying. What did you do for love? And you see, when love becomes the platform or the leverage of discernment, it changes a lot of things and it brings many other things under light. Because not every money spent was spent in love. Not everything done is done in love. Some are done for competition. Some are done to outdo others. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? Not every church planted is planted in love, planted in mission. You know, a friend of mine was telling me years ago about his relative. The guy was clearly a nuisance, you know, not willing to do anything, and just somebody that you would consider black sheep of family, as they call it, and all of that. And suddenly, the family is scrolling on social media and see, church flyer, he's starting church. Ah! So they call him. When did God call you? What is going on? So when they pressed, and he couldn't give excuse, just in a moment of vulnerability, he said, Mommy, leave that one. If I buy you Land Cruiser Prado, won't you like it? First and foremost, the people who think ministry is just easy, I really want them to try. Because you see, people have more discernment than we think. Many people are naive. They can't spot fake. But more people than you can imagine can spot fakeness the moment they see it. They know why you are in ministry. They know. Let me tell you something. The people, are you ready for this? And this is on the strength of the scripture. The people who attend ministries pastored by false ministers, most of them know. They don't just care. Because maybe the person is doing dark powers and at least can. Why do people visit herbalists? You think they don't know that the source is questionable? They want results. So most of them know. They don't just care. The Bible says in the last days, people will not be able to endure sound doctrine, so they will heap for themselves teachers having itchy ears. It is either somehow the service is convenient. You don't mind that they are false because you are false too. But you think they don't know, they know. Even genuine people have to trust God for supply. And you want to. Anyway, I said all of that to say this. Not many things that look purposeful are done in love. So, the hierarchy of purpose, number one is what? Number two is what? Love, or your love work. Number three, the least important but equally important, is the work God gave you to do. The Bible tells me in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, it says, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. What has God given you to keep? What talent has he given to you? When Jesus told the parable of the talents, he's letting you know that to whom much is given, much is required. And the master is going to come back. This is a metaphor of the end of age, because all of those scenarios ended with one statement: enter into the joy of the Lord. Or to the person who didn't do well with the resources, he says he was cast out to outer darkness where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is serious. It means there also can be eternal consequences for how you deployed and executed the resources that God gave you. Are you tracking with me? Now understand this. Not everybody will be famous. In fact, I can make an argument that a Christian shouldn't necessarily make that his goal. Not everybody will be a multi-millionaire or billionaire. You see, that's very important to state in a charismatic Pentecostal setting, because some of you have been given an idea. I've said this before. A lot of us, in reading the Bible, we have main character syndrome. Because every time you read the Bible and you see what God told Abraham, you think you are the modern day Abraham. It never occurred to you that you may be Lot. Hear what I'm saying? I'm not talking about his mistakes. I'm saying it never occurred to you that you may be the one who is supposed to support Abraham. We have main character syndrome. So when we read the Bible, we think we have to be David. We think we have to be Joseph. We think we have to be Isaac. What if you are John the Baptist? What if it's your destiny to make the path easier for some other person? What if it's your destiny to open the door to the promised land like Rahab? What if you're... Listen now, context. Context. I'm saying all I'm saying contextually. I'm not talking about the totality of their life. I'm talking about assignments. Please, are you paying attention to what I'm saying? This is very important. So, in the parable of the talent, somebody was given one talent. Another person was given how many? Two talents.
The other person was given how many?
5 talents. Now, listen to me. Listen to me. And everybody's increase seemed to be relative to the capital that they had. And the master had no problem with that. In fact, he told the same person, oh, all the people who multiplied their talents, he told them the same thing. Well done, good and faithful servant. So you are not only good and faithful if 2 talents become 55. It means, from a carnal and natural standpoint, person A might not be bigger than person B, but person A fulfilled his destiny 100%. Person B fulfilled his destiny 100% relative to their capital, not relative to the next person. So when we are talking about succeeding in God's assignment, we're talking about it relative to what God gave you. So you can be the best version of yourself. That one, everybody can strive to be. If anyone just comes, holds a mic, and just prophesies loosely, you'll be the next richest man in the world. You know, there are people who pray prayers like that. You say, amen. See, I'm going to lie to you. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? I remember one day, we're driving in a car going somewhere with some of my proteges who are in ministry. And we drove past one man of God who has a reputation of being an elocutor, great preacher, and had a great church, but only one branch. So we're driving past, this was years ago. And then somebody in the car, who's also a preacher, said, sir, I want to ask you, why do you think that as great as this man is, he had only one branch? I said, who told you everybody has been sent to have branches around the world? Who told you? Who told you? Everybody will be judged relative to what God asks them to do and relative to the level of their giftings. Come on, I get what I'm saying. So, I am saying 2 things at the same time. The people who just sell the notion of ambition, blanket ambition. So now, as a believer, you are secretly desiring to be on Forbes' list. It may not happen. That's no prophecy of doom. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Do you like this sermon? Because these days now, people will go whine you. Some people like. But I can tell you something. There are also people that God tells, go and borrow vessels and borrow not a few. So within the scope of the destiny allotted to you, it is your responsibility to determine how far. You can have a rubber band and choose not to stretch it. Are you getting what I'm saying? You can determine how far, and God is going to respect it. If the prophet says, strike the arrow on the floor, and you stop at 2, your choice. Or you stop at 3, your choice. So within your own destiny, there is stretching. And so this is what I want to emphasize in this place. Oh my God, a lot of God's people see purpose as something irresistible. If God has proposed it, nothing can stop it. Lies. Lies. There is the part of discipline. There is the part of consistency. There is a part of determination and selfless ambition within the ambits of the will of God for your life. There is wrong ambition. That's clear in the word. I mean, in fact, I think it is prophetic and poetic that the Bible tells us about selfish ambition when it came to the people trying to build the Tower of Babel. And God came, confused their language and all of that. And if you stop there, you will think, oh, God has a problem with ambition. This happens in Genesis chapter 11, right? Now, you come to Genesis chapter 12. In Genesis 11, the people said, let us make a name for ourselves. So you think God has a problem with that. But in Genesis chapter 12, right in the next chapter, God calls Abraham, leave your kindred, leave your father's house, go to a place that I will show you. I will give you a great name. So God doesn't have a problem with greatness. He has an issue with greatness out of purpose. It means that in purpose, there is such a thing as selfless ambition. That even if you wanted to be small, God takes Abraham out in the cool of the day and said, oh, your desires are too small. You're asking me for a child. I will give you children more than you can count. Are you listening to me? And now the fulfillment of the full scope of what God already destined for your life will now be subject to how determined you are. Because there is a difference between the foreknowledge of God and predestination. Let me tell you a story to make this point. And I've actually told you this before, if you've been paying attention. The Bible tells us that David was hiding, okay? Trying to look for my note. Maybe the media team can help me. The Bible tells us David was in hiding from Saul in a place called Keilah. And then he heard that Saul was coming to Keilah to look for him. And so David went to ask the Lord, if Saul comes here, will the people of Keilah, let me use modern day language, will they slay me? Will they hide me here or will they surrender me to Saul? And God said, they will. So it means God knows the future, right? Is it everything in the future that God knows that God predestined? Let me tell you how I know that. Because when David heard that, what do you think he did? He ran away. So now, when Saul came and checked Keilah for him and didn't see him, then they couldn't arrest him. So that means, even if God knew what was going to happen in the future, if David stayed, he didn't predestine it. Not every aspect of foreknowledge is predestined. I'm going to come back to this when we're teaching on salvation. It means there are some things that you can know about the future that are not necessarily predestined and that are subject to your decision or indecision. God did not predestine that you will finish with the grade you finished with. You predestined it. That was your choice. Are there aspects of your life that are irresistibly predestined? Yes. But believe you me, the Bible is replete with several instructions on the consequences of your choices. There is a way you will live your life, you will be poor, and God did not destine it. Leave God out of it. And you are trying to blame the devil, and the devil is surprised. Like even the devil is not aware of these outcomes. He was not there that day. You have to understand, the devil is not omnipresent. And you must really flatter yourself that you failed your exam and you said it's the devil. You mean all the great people in the world, all the great politicians, all the great movers and shakers, the devil left them so that you can slip off and miss your interview. You must really flatter yourself. One devil is on your case. You are not that hot. You are not that hot. You go need calm down. I meant hot spiritually. Proverbs Proverbs chapter 13, verse 4. The soul of the sluggard desires. When you just stay like this, you just imagine traveling to Milan, traveling Brazil, traveling, you know, Monday in Dubai, Friday, you know, in London, you know, then the next week you are in Paris. The soul of the sluggard desires, you know. Have you seen broke people advising you what to do with your money? They always have better ideas. They come up with phrases like money misroad. They are sure that you are not enjoying the money well. I'm just joking. It says, the soul of the sluggard desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. This one is subject to decision. Don't blame everything on God or on the devil. You have your part to play. Are you listening to me? You know, I was doing some research on the intellectual stamina that it took to obey God. I mean, strictly from an intellectual standpoint or from a discipline perspective. There are some things that you read from a spiritual standpoint, and so you don't appreciate it when it comes to a common sense, pragmatic lens, all right? So, for instance, Noah built an ark. It's very simple. And you read it when it comes to God and his involvement in what happens on the earth and the salvation metaphors, and rightly so. But if you were to look at it from the standpoint of work, historians say it took 60 to 100 years to build that ark. Do you know what it means to wake up every day all by yourself? It would have taken him 10 hours at least every day. Every single day, no cranes, no bulldozers. Listen, God is giving you that kind of vision. It was by far the biggest wood structure in the Old Testament. Meaning if you do such a thing today, it will be in the Guinness Book of World Record. It was greatness. Are you getting what I'm saying? It had purpose at the center, but it required grit. It required consistency. It required discipline. And he kept at it to wake up every day, knowing prophetically that something that had never happened, namely rain, was going to happen. And that drives you for a whole century without anybody there to motivate you on the strength of what God told you. Every morning you wake up with one goal, and then you're carrying wood, and then you're carrying nail manually without any machines to make the work faster. I'm saying this because some of us spiritualize everything. We think everything is about grace. You are there still sitting in your couch at home, waiting for when what God told you will happen. Ah, I'm telling you, if you don't change, let me tell you three things I've discovered. Number one, many people do not know the price of greatness. They think they do. They think they do. Many people do not know the price of greatness. Now, I think months ago I told you this is a psychological phenomenon. It's called the Dunning-Kruger effect. It was named after the people who came up with the postulation. It has been discovered psychologically that common people just don't know how much smarter and better that the leaders of their industry are. You underestimate the gap. Can I give you a simple example? It may pinch you. You know, I'm always surprised, lovers of football, when you are watching, the people on the screen are the best in the world. When they kick the ball and they miss it, you are so angry. You are sure that if it was you, who are you trying to advise? And you are screaming at the screen, pass it like this, pass it like this. You don't even know. You know, there was a basketball player. He was playing, I think, you know, in the NBA. And he had a very bad game. So people were trolling him. And so he actually challenged one of the fans. Come, let's play. So when he was done trashing the fan, he said this. He said, in basketball, I am closer to LeBron James than you are to me. I'm closer to Le- Do you know what it means? In the whole NBA, there are 500 players. 500. Do you know how competitive it is to even get there, to even sit on the bench? Listen, if you sit on the bench and never touch a ball, you are already a success in that career. Then you just a troll. You just a troll. You can't even play ball. You know, something. Just say, sack the coach, sack the coach, sack the coach. Because we have the tendency to commonize success. We don't know what it really takes. Please, don't get me wrong. Chances are you may be right. Sometimes. But all I'm saying is, it's even safer to assume they know better than you. More often than not, that's the case. If you are wise, you know which is likely the case. More often than not, we have the tendency to just look at people doing something at a great level and think, oh, what's there? You know, I'll never forget. I give this example because this was the first time I really realized it. And I'm sure the people that I involved don't mind my saying this. When the first time it was announced that there was going to be a marathon in Lagos, two people in the office, they came and took permission. So I will not be around on Saturday. I said, where are you going? Say marathon. I said, you. Have I ever seen you jog in the morning? You know what one of them told me? He said, when he was in GS2. You know, because I'm pastor, let it not be as if I don't believe in him. So I said, go. When he came back, I saw glucose. My first question, did you finish? You don't understand. Because when you see people running on the screen, you just be like, ah. That's worse. Was there? You commonize it. Because it's actually, it's kind of a romantic fantasy. We like to fantasize that we could just do things. It's since childhood. You watch a fighting scene, then you now go out in the backyard. You don't like this. If they slap you. I wish I could give you the names. There was an interview, podcast. You know, podcast people like to talk. So, do you know who a professional fighter is? In some countries, they are registered as weapons. It means you can become so good, the government recognizes you as a weapon. No matter the context, except if it is self-defense, there is a level of training you are not even permitted to hit somebody. You'll be arrested because you are a weapon. So in the podcast, the podcaster, you know, said, you know, I have a ring back there. you know, I think I can spar with you. So he asked the guy, he said, how long do you think it will take you to beat me? The guy said, maybe 10 seconds less. He was like, no, you don't rate me. He said, okay, let's go. Not too much talk. Ladies and gentlemen, 6 seconds. Baba don't they tap like this. You don't understand. You don't understand. You don't. And I've been there too. What I'm about to say, I won't say it. Because. No. This one, leave him. You know, I've been preaching for too long to fall for this thing. Leave him. Mm-hmm. No wine meal. No, it's not working. Don't disregard the scars of legends. See, just start learning to respect achievements. Start learning to respect achievements. Because we all have the tendency to assume we know what it takes. We almost don't. Almost always don't. You can have a fair estimation. See, when you see anybody do anything at a high level, the sacrifice it took them to pull off that level of greatness is almost always greater than you anticipated. What I'm saying, almost all of us, including myself, are not immune to it. That is why you will write an exam and be surprised you failed. What? You are surprised. You know, if you have ever written an exam and you were surprised you failed, it means you didn't know how much it took to pass. And I'm telling you, the way you approach those exams is the way most of us are approaching life. You don't know. Can I look for your trouble? This one I can say it. Let me say it this way. Let me personalize it. You know why I cannot be a diehard football fan? Make no mistake. Apart from the things I know clearly, I know who the greatest footballer of all time is. His name is Messi, the short guy. So, that one is clear. If you don't know that, what do you know? Anyway, so I'm more inclined to support people than teams. And I will tell you why. It takes a certain level of delusion to be a diehard football fan. Because in your heart of hearts, you really know the strength of your team. But as a fan, you must support. We will win this year. Are you lying? Can I look for your trouble and go? Will you forgive me? Promise, do like this. You know where I'm going. I mean, after yesterday's match, somebody laid on the floor. Was that like he was exasperated? Like, my mind, I say, for your mind, you yourself known. Don't lie. You won't beat PSG. Are you? Swear, say you don't know. Say, You are still one of the best in the world. You tried. It was a successful season. Don't lose to PSG and you're on the floor. Player, who is the form for? Stand up, Joe. Okay. You really thought you would beat PSG? What? Please cut this part of the sample. it's a great team. Don't lie. You even tried. I watched the match. That was good. I was rooting for you personally. For ulterior motives. Because I still haven't forgiven Dembele for the way he played in Barcelona for the last years. That's why, ulterior motives. Uh-huh. So that's why, ulterior motives. But come on, for your mind, you know. Anyway, let's move on. So I've discovered Many people do not know the price, or they commonize it. Number two, many people, it will surprise you, they are not willing to pay the price. They are not willing. Let me tell you something. There are some maybe young aspiring ministers of the gospel that are praying that one day maybe they will step into my shoes, or Bishop Adeboye's shoes, or some other preacher's shoes. If I give you the mic and leave this place for 5 years, can you put in the work? Will I find anybody here when I come back? Not just the preaching. It's not just the suits. Eh? It's the spiritual discipline. You don't understand. You don't understand. You don't understand. You think people are idiots? You think they can come twice a week to listen to you? How long before you have nothing else to say? You don't understand. Do you know what it means for people to listen to you twice a week for 13 years and they still come with excitement and expectation? You have underestimated it. You look at the people who have maybe morning prayers. If they tell you, this is now your platform, just show up every day without fail. Try it for 2 years. you become from the hospital straight. Because when you now see it, you know, there are some of them, you know, you just disregard their efforts. See, let me tell you something. You don't have to agree with everybody, but never be the person that downplays efforts. When you see people who downplay efforts, who try to minimize it, excuse it, oh, it's because of this, it's because of that. What you are doing, you are affecting your psyche. Because when you accept the real greatness of people, it will now challenge you. You now realize where you are, how much work you have to put in. The more you continue to persuade yourself that the people who have done better than you are your colleagues, the more you persuade yourself, there won't be any real incentive to improve. Are you getting what I'm saying? One of my favorite characters in the entire Bible is John the Baptist. People were trying to hype him. They say, you're the one who started water baptism first. The person you baptize is baptized. He said, calm down. You remember I told you from the beginning, I am not the Christ. He that is above all. Let me tell you, it will help you in life. Know who pass you. Don't use branding to cover it. Know who pass you. Mm-hmm. Come on, are you listening to me? There are people I call for advice. Decisions in this ministry. Straight up. Maybe the Bangoyes, both of them. Some of them, I require their... And in the past 6 months, maybe I've done it at least 25 times. I wanted to tell you so that you know the frequency. There's a man of God in this country. I called 3 days ago. Sir, please give me 10 minutes of your time. I need your counsel on something. Don't pretend to know it all. Are you listening to me? Because there will be times where don't set yourself up for failure. And you must be willing to pay the price. Now, let me say this. I want to call you guys out. Are you ready for it? You know I love you. Sometime last year or 2 years ago, I used my influence, talked to some people behind the scenes, I said, please put aside $100 million for me. Let me find young businesses in this church that already have a track record and just need funding. I secured that capital for you. We announced it in one of the programs. Most of you didn't apply. You know what that means? You know what that means? You are here praying every Sunday. But if somebody is willing to fund a viable idea, you have none. That's what he showed me. I'm not gonna lie, it pained me. Not many pastors are as obsessed with your well-being like that. So I was just like, so if I know, if I announce grants, the whole church will apply. It pained me. I think what pained me the most is, I think the first time we announced it was during Young and Free. So you came for fun. We now have an initiative that is going to help you. I think one of the seniors is saying, you see now, we also announced it in church, ma. We also announced it in church. We also announced it in church. So, I mean, so now if somebody says, if you can give me any viable idea to the tune of 100 million, I'll give you the money. There are some of you who don't even have something. You don't have any bread that God can multiply to feed 5,000. Yes. And that leads me to the third thing I discovered, and I have to end here. Many people attribute everything to grace. They attribute everything to grace. I've talked about that in passing, so I'm not going to talk on it. Let me just say this. Please, pay the price to be the best version of yourself. Please help me tell the person by your side, say, pay the price. Tell someone else, in case that person was not listening, pay the price. So you are going to work on yourself. Work on every aspect. You're going to read books. You're going to work hard. You're going to burn the midnight oil. You're going to go the extra mile. Invest in knowledge. You know, I gave myself a secret goal. One of the ways to deal with what I called told you about, the Dunning-Kruger effect. I decided to start measuring my competence by the number of books I've read. It might seem lame to an extent, but it's a safer guardrail. Are you listening to me? So I gave myself a target. At least 40 books on leadership. 40 books on finance. 40 books on marriage. Now, I hold myself to higher standards because I'm a teacher. And of course, more than 40 books on theology. So, I mean, measure it. If you want to be great at whatever it is you do. If you want to be great at, you'll be astonished. The things you don't know, you'll be astonished. And I've told you before, the elite enjoy the fact that you think that the gap between you is small. It gives them advantage because you will never catch up as long as you think it's just, if I just stretch more. All those silly excuses. Oh, it's because he had an uncle that believed in me, in him. If he just, those things are an advantage. But are they the only advantage? Invest in knowledge. Invest in relationships. I can't tell you how complicated relationships are. If you are not an expert in relationships, you may never... Are you ready for what I'm about to say? You may never cross into the next level if you're not a relationship expert. And I can explain why to you. One of the things that lack of exposure does is not just that it limits you in the practical sense, is that it makes it harder for you to enter rooms where the people who can help you are and feel comfortable. See, except they have a high level of grace and spiritual maturity. Even the best of us, when we look at our core friendships, not consciously, there are people who are not far from us in terms of exposure, in terms of intellect, in terms of, am I saying the truth or not? Because subconsciously, we just want to feel at home with the people around us. Now, that's a challenge. Because it means that there are some great people who can like you, but just can't bring you into their inner circle. Not because they're class conscious, but because that's not how social relationships work. Not many people can handle being close to somebody who throws in grammatical blunders every two sentences. So let me tell you something. You may not have gone to a good school, but that's one thing you can work on. You may not have books, but watch TV. And stop watching for fun. Your life is too precious. You're already at a disadvantage. Let others watch for fun. You pause it, rehearse, repeat it. I can tell you, speech is one easy way to have a better passage in life. Easy. It's understated. Just work on that one. Are you getting what I'm saying? There are some things I don't want to tell you. There are people in this church that correct my grammar. As I'm done preaching, they will send me the message. You pronounce it this way. It's not that way. Do you know the level of humility it takes? Are you getting what I'm saying? That's part of what I'm saying. Some people don't know just how much work it takes. So you have to be open to correction. It has to be normal. And don't undermine it. Then don't say, I knew that. Or it was just, wow. I would say, I never knew that. Wow. If I need to call, I say, so pronounce it, let me hear. Are you getting what I'm saying? Simple things. Your speech, your dressing, your knowledge. If you want to befriend a great person, when you sit down, what will you discuss? Do you have any common ground? Do you have any common ground? There was a barber I had in Abuja. Every time I went to that salon, I noticed quite a number of things. Number one, he dressed different from the rest. And every time they were discussing, no matter how casual the conversation was, he had such a depth and intellect. Talking about the nation, or even talking about football, there are some takes you have in football. I know that you know really, I know you say, come again. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. No, but he's talking about finance, governance. He had something to say. So one day I just couldn't resist. I said, are you a graduate? He said, yes. That is just condition that made him come here. And I tried him out a few times. Meet me here, always on time, always professional, well-dressed, respectful. You know, I had somebody in Lagos, a friend of mine who was looking for a manager of operations. And I said, I called him. I said, I think I found someone for your role. I found someone. He has worked with that person for about 7 years now and has been promoted, if I'm not mistaken, about 5 times. Are you listening to me? And you will know there are some people you will help and you will regret it all your life. There are some others, you will see that all they needed was small chance. The last time we spoke, he's working on his MBA. That's when you will know that some of you, you're only better because God helped you. You get what I mean? There's some people, if they had the chance you had, half, what they would do with it, you'll be surprised. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying here? I can give you example upon example. We'll talk about the rest later. Please stand to your feet. Listen. The thing with what I described is, nobody can really persuade you. You must decide on your own. Unfortunately, there are some people that even failure cannot motivate. They even brag about it. I no get shame.
You know, in school, there are two types of people. There are people who, when they fail, for days, they are not themselves. Rolling on the bed, crying. Some will laugh. Oh, dear, you don't fail. You don't check your result. Red, they are laughing. They are laughing. Make no mistake. Sometimes, not everybody will be book smart. But please, in whatever it is God has given to you, treat it like a steward. Treat it like somebody is going to come back for that talent and say, okay, what did you do with it? You buried it? So there is a aspect to purpose that has to do with your work and how faithful you are in it. Are you getting what I'm saying here? I want to pray to the Lord. This one will not just be, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Make God a commitment. You're going to wake up. You're going to sit up. You're going to give life your best. You are going to improve. And when he comes back, he will say to you and of you, well done, good and faithful servants. Take a few minutes and talk to him now. Talk to him.
Thank you for listening. We are sure that you have been blessed. For inquiries, reach us on our helpline 0809 996 7000. Blessings.